Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Tell me what police state looks like. This is what a police state looks like.
That's them. Can you hide?
This is what a police state looks like. This is what a police state looks like.
Welcome to a special extended feature here at Soundwaves from the Underground. We're going to be talking about Occupy SLC and some updates on the movement. They were recently evicted from Pioneer Park, and organizer and spokesperson Tara Beakey is going to give us some updates on the current movement and what's going on with the SLC movement related to the national and international scenes. How has the movement changed, do you think, since the eviction happened in Pioneer Park?
I think for the time being, we've slowed down a lot of our actions so that we can sit back and regroup and kind of figure out where we're going to go from here. We also have to think a little bit further in the future if we were to reoccupy, to have a better plan, contingency plans, so that we don't have our camp shut down and then have to start over again and over again. I think that's one thing that would be very important. It's also important to note that we still do have our camp at Gallivan, and that hasn't gone away. And as far as I know, they still have everything set up there. They're not allowed to quote unquote camp or prepare food, but they can be there 24 hours a day without getting kicked out.
For those that don't know, could you explain a little bit about what happened to the Pioneer Park situation?
Well, with Pioneer Park, as everyone knows, it's Pioneer Park if you're from anywhere around here. And there have always been some interesting characters there, including some homeless people and then also some people that use drugs. When we moved into the park, I think we had the understanding that they would be there, but at the same time, we didn't realize that we would actually foster that and all the people that didn't necessarily have a place to go in a shelter, or maybe the shelters weren't fulfilling their needs, or they were just sleeping outside somewhere anyway. They all kind of congregated together and came to the park, and so we started to have a very big population of homeless people. It was a lot to deal with, and we asked for help from the city, we asked for help from the police on numerous occasions because we didn't necessarily know how to handle this big population of people, many of whom had mental illnesses and drug addictions and things like that. And we were doing our best to make sure that they, while still still trying to pursue our own goals with Occupy, but to also make sure that these people were fed and warm and had a place to sleep and everyone was safe. That said, unfortunately, a gentleman passed away in his tent overnight, and we're still not sure because the autopsy hasn't come back as far as I know, at least as of a day or so ago. He either passed away from a drug overdose, from exposure to the cold, or he also had a propane heater inside of his tent, which he might have died from carbon monoxide. After he passed away, we were basically given a 24-hour notice to evacuate the park. They were using that as their specific reason for kicking us out of the park and telling us that we had to leave, and gave us until sundown the following day to get everything out. It was definitely difficult because not only were we trying to grieve the loss of this person, someone who passed away right next to a lot of us, you know, right where we were sleeping, but also try to deal with the communication that we had with the police and all the time that we had spent working with them, all of a sudden going out the door and them just saying, "We're not going to listen anymore. Get out." We do think that there was some scapegoating going on. Obviously, people pass away on the street every single year, and there's plenty of statistics that show, I think it's 54 people last year and 58 people the year before that pass away anyway. And not to say this person's life wasn't important, but I think that they use that as their specific excuse to kick us out of the park, and it was perfect for them because we had no backup at that point. We had no way to get out of it.
And at the same time that Salt Lake City was being evacuated, there were similar sorts of movements throughout the country. You mentioned the scapegoating as an element for that. They used other reasons in other places, most famously in Zuccotti Park, due to sanitation and other people
and
not being
hazard.
Able to use the park. You think maybe that had something to play into it?
Yeah, I mean, if you look through the news stories and things that have been put out there, I don't know who dug up the information or how it got out, but there's more than one story. There's tons of stories about the fact that not only did the police, you know, get on these big conference calls and trainings with other police stations across the country to plan how they would go about these, but there were also the same kind of conversations happening with mayors of cities across the whole country, where they got together to try to choreograph these evictions. Part of it being, if you're paying very close attention to the city that's closest to you, you're not going to be paying as much attention to the city next door. And a lot of the reasons that these occupations have not been evicted is because for example, in Wall Street, when, you know, one of the first times they were told they were going to be evicted, we got everyone in the entire country to call the mayor, to text the mayor, to, you know, to get on the TV and the news in their local area and say, we're not okay with this. But if you're doing it to many people in many cities across the country at the same time, it makes it more difficult for any one place to have support.
Whether or not we get arrested here today, we have to make a statement. Salt Lake City has to be a part of this. Join us!
And what are these people so scared of, the detractors and the powers that be that are trying to shut these camps down and silence the movement? What is a possible outcome, do you think, that could be achieved here?
I think they just they don't want to have to deal with us. They don't want to hear that people are unhappy. They don't want the people that are unhappy to have anyone else join in, you know? They don't want our numbers to grow. They don't want it to be bigger. And honestly, when it comes back to the whole, you know, 99% versus the 1%, the 1% controls our government. They control our police forces. They control everything. And if we're speaking out against them, and they have the money and the means to say, hey, shut that down, of course they're going to. Of course they want to shut us up.
And a lot of detractors of the movements criticize it for being kind of unorganized and not having a clear statement and message. What would you say to those kind of people that say those sorts of things?
I can understand to an extent where people say, you know, it is disorganized, et cetera, et cetera. But I'd really like someone to sit down and think of any business or organization or any group for that matter that can manage to, in a few months, come together and organize anything as big as Occupy is. For as disorganized as it is, because it is a leaderless movement, at the same time, there's so much solidarity and there are so many things that manage to happen across the entire country, you know, just by communication via Twitter and Facebook, etc. We are a movement in its infancy and we are learning and we are growing and learning from our mistakes and learning from the mistakes of the police in the cities. But at the same time, as far as having a specific message, it is unfortunate that there are so many things wrong with our country and there are so many things wrong with our government and with big business right now that there's a lot to stand up and yell about. I would hope going forward, and it's definitely my goal here in Salt Lake City, that we start having specific messages, more pointed messages, and having actions and things that people can do to create change, to create real change. And hopefully we see that happening across the country. There's already been, you know, specific things such as bank transfer day, where billions of dollars were taken out of big banks and put into local credit unions. I know in DC they're doing something where they're trying to work on the foreclosure issues. So every area does have an issue that's gonna hit closer to home for them. And if we all just keep working on those issues, I think at some point we will hit everything and we will be able to start making big change.
Now, Salt Lake City has a solutions forum and a town hall, mm-hmm. or actually the solutions forum is going to be enacted soon, right? Mm-hmm. And those are a little bit different than some other movements. What do those things hope to accomplish?
So town hall was originally created when we needed a space to meet indoors in the warm, where we could all sit down and actually plan actions and events. So we decided to start doing that at the downtown main library from 7 to 9 every Monday and Thursday. And we've been doing that for, I think, about a month and a half now. We started maybe a week and a half after the original occupation, and it's awesome. It's great. We really get a lot of people to show up. I would say anywhere from 60 to 70 people per meeting, and we get together. We kind of go through committee announcements and then break up into groups and work on specific actions. You know, if this group wants to plan an event, they're going to go off and do that. If this group wants to, you know, start working on structures and processes and things like that to make sure that we are more organized, they work on that. And it's really been a positive, and a lot of good things have come of it. As far as the solutions forum, that's one thing that it's just barely getting started. And it will be a type of forum where we get people together that are either educated or have experience or have great ideas, people that are really, really passionate about a particular subject, and get them together into a room, again, probably anywhere from 60 to 70 people, to talk about, hopefully with a professional moderator, a professional facilitator, to talk about the issues that we do have here in Salt Lake City, and then even, you know, in maybe the state and larger from there, and find real live solutions, things that can actually be enacted by either people or by legislation, where we can make a difference and make change. And hopefully those people will be able to point us in the right direction so that we can make that change.
You mentioned earlier that there's still a park occupation type thing happening at the Gallivan Plaza. So there's still a tents on the ground element to the Salt Lake City Occupy movement. They weren't able to shut down all the way, although it's a little bit different than what was going on at Pioneer Park. What is missing, and what is a little bit different about that?
So the Gallivan occupation originally started with the people that were occupying the Fed, if anyone's heard of that. And they were people that were literally sleeping on the streets of the Fed. And they were people that were part of Occupy SLC, but they wanted to make more of a direct action rather than just staying in Pioneer Park. They wanted to did something that maybe made a bigger impact. So for them, that was sleeping on the streets of the Fed. From there, there was some interesting things that took place that they ended up having a parking spot they can sleep in, but it wasn't enough that the city had offered and they were charging for it, and decided to occupy some public space that was being, or private space, excuse me, that was being wasted, and they thought it was a great example of corporate greed, where a bar that had been there for many years, a club, was bulldozed, ripped down, just to leave this empty plot of land with nothing being done with it. People have actually compared it to like the Sugar Hole. So from there, the owner of that property was very upset and asked the police to evict them, and they said, you know, we're not going to go anywhere unless you can give us a real space that we can be, that's close enough to the Fed that we can go there on a daily basis if we want to. With that negotiation, they ended up having the space at Gallivan, and since it was a separate permit, and they do have, there are different stipulations written into the permit, that camp wasn't ripped down when Pioneer was ripped down. So they have still been there. They've been there 24 hours a day. They can't quote unquote camp. So their tents have to be used as shelter, and they can't prepare food. But other than that, they have been there 24 hours and they're not leaving. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. And I'm actually planning on going and setting up a tent there soon.
This is the only chance we've got for true freedom in our country. You guys are in the way of it. Why can't you fight for us for one time? That's all I want.
These lights, please.
My tax dollars to be spent wisely.
The lights are an officer safety issue for us, okay? We can't see with the lights on our face, all right?
You're here for us and only us.
These guys are the 99% too, man.
There's another event going on this Friday. It kind of ties into Buy Nothing Day, mm-hmm. which is the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. Where is the Occupy SLC movement involved with that? How is that happening?
So I think actually Occupy SLC was one of the cities that started the Buy Nothing Day. There's a website called BlackFridayBlackout.com. Everyone's taking it a little bit differently and doing what they will with it in their city. Some people are saying it's a complete general strike where no one's going to go to work, to school, anything along those lines, no shopping. Other people are saying, well, you know, I can't really not shop or go to school or work. Most people don't go to school. But I'll wear black if I go to work. Or if I do shop, I'll shop local. There's also a very big push that we've been trying to get people to buy local on Saturday. So, you know, we understand some people are still going to go out and they're still going to get their great deals on Friday, but if they can just, you know, take whatever money they didn't spend and go on Saturday and go to a local business and put that into their own local economy, that makes a huge difference.
And where can people find out more information in general about Occupy SLC, the Black Friday movement, and in general?
OccupySLC.org has information about the occupation. It's not always as up-to-date as we want, just because everyone is volunteer. If you wanted to get quick, and besides the calendar that is up-to-date, but if you wanted more quick information about what's going on now, the Facebook page, there's also a Facebook page and also a discussion group, two discussion groups, that you can go in and get some information on an up-to-the-moment type deal. And then also on Twitter, if you follow, it's at Occupy Salt Lake. And you can get pretty much up-to-the-minute information from that, too.
And Occupy Together, I heard, is a national site. Mm-hmm. Do you find resources helpful on there?
Occupy Together is really great for connecting people and letting them know where there are occupations in their area. They have a lot of great imagery and posters and things like that can be used. But as far as really getting in touch with an occupation, it's better to find where the closest one is to you on Occupy Together and then find their specific website, because most of the occupations at this point do have their own websites.
Can you sum up the movement? I know it's hard to do, but can can you let us know what you hope to see out of this and give us a note of positivity to end on?
What I hope to see, I would say that not only myself, but everybody in the Occupy movement hopes to see our numbers grow. We hope to see more support, more wide support. We are the 99%, and we hope to have that many people interested in making change in our country, real substantial change.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tara Beeke. You've been very informative and helpful, and we look forward to hearing more about your movement, and we'll follow OccupySLC.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Tell me that.